Tezvav Amir Aleph, 11 lines in the top. Gemara is discussing when Rosh Hashanah for the various trees are, and the Gemara is discussing about an esrig, and the Gemara says that sometimes esrig is like a vegetable, sometimes like a tree, in the various opinions. So now the Gemara says, Rabbi Yechanan asked the question from Rabbi Yanei. What was his question? Esrig Rosh Hashanah Shalei Emasai. When is the Rosh Hashanah for an esrig? Very simple. When is the Rosh Hashanah for an esrig? Amalei Shvat. So he said the month of Shvat. So he asked him, Shvat Chadoshim or Shvat Tkufa? Which Shvat do you mean? Do you mean the month Shvat or the season Shvat? So Amalei said the Chadoshim. I mean months. But it's the month of Shvat. Not the solar Shvat, but the lunar Shvat. In other words, the seasons are based on the sun. The months are based on the moon. So you want to know, you're talking about the solar Shvat or the lunar Shvat? So he said, the lunar Shvat, the Shvat of months. So now the Gemara says, Rav asked the Shaila from Rav Nachman, or some people say Rabbi Yechon asked the Shaila from Rabbi Yanai, Ha'isa Shana Mulberes Mahu. What happens if it's a leap year? Now, the reason why there's a leap year is because, like we know, the solar year has 365 days. The lunar year has 354. There's 11-day difference. Now, that adds up. After 3 months, it's 33 days. After 10 months, would be 110 days. Okay? So in order to fix up and coincide the solar and the lunar, the Chacham added leap years. Now usually the year that they add a leap year, it's because the lunar year is behind the solar year. Much like this year, everything's coming out early. But this coming year is going to be a leap year. And then it's going to be a little bit late. You know, and then everything gets organized, so to speak. So now the Gemara's question is like this. If it's a leap year, which means Shvat falls out early, so is the new year Adar, or do we still keep it in Shvat? Maybe because it's a leap year, and it's earlier because it's before the leap year yet, They didn't add the extra month, so maybe we should go to Adar for the new year for trees, because a lot has to do with the physical growth of the tree. Now, the physical growth of the tree goes by the seasons, not so much by the months, by the lunar cheshbon. So the question is, this is what he asked, Ha'isa Shana Moberes Mahu. If it's a leap year, what do we do? Do we make it an Shvat, or do we keep it, or do we make it other? Amalei said, Halach Achar Reif Shanim, you go by the majority of the years, which means it's always Shvat, so even a leap year it's Shvat. That's it, you go keep it universal, Shvat, and that's it. So the Gemara says now the following. Amar Rabbi, Rabbi said, Esrig Bashishis, an esrig of the that grew in the sixth year, shenichnas l'shvius, that went into the seventh year and it was picked in the seventh year. That means the esrig grew in the sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, but you picked it in the seventh year. So now, does it have a din of the sixth, or does it have a din of the seventh? So the Gemara is going to mix everything up, not mix it in a difficult way. The Gemara is going to say, well, in certain things it has a din of sixth, certain things a din of seventh. Now, normally, trees grow by when they grow, not when you pick them. The question, what's the din of an esrig? Does it go by when you pick it? Because we learned before an opinion in the Gemara that it says, esrig, you go by when you pick it, not when it grows. So the Gemara says, what's the din if it grows in the sixth, but you pick it in the seventh? So Rabbi says as follows.
Ptura, it's like it's staying in the whole year.
Right. Sometimes a few years.
A few years.
Yeah. But over here, the Shaila is, it grew in the sixth year, which is not Shemitah, but you picked it in the seventh. So do you go by growing or by picking? So the Gemara is going to say, in certain things, it's like sixth, and growing, and certain things is like picking.
Does it go by when it was ripened?
Yeah.
It's so hard to know which is a right on an Esther.
Maybe me and you don't know. They know.
They know.
The farmers know. I mean. So he says as follows: Pturim in a meiser, you don't have to give meiser on it. Why? Because it has a din of the seventh year. Now the fruits that grow in this Shemitah are basically free for all. Everybody has a right to them because it's not your field anymore for that year. So the din is, if everybody has a right to it, it has a din of Hefker. If it has a din of Hefker, you don't have to tithe Hefker. You don't have to give Meiser and Hefker. So Rabbi says, as far as Meiser is concerned, it has a din of Shemitah, and therefore you're potter for Meiser. But at the same time, Pturim in Amat Biur. You also don't even have to remove it, Biartia, like you would Shemitah year. In other words, fruit of Shemitah year, you have to, you can only keep Shemitah as long as the animals still eat it. Once afterwards, it's totally hafki, you have to get rid of it. That means you can't own it at all. So fruits of Shemitah you have to do beer on it. So he says, as far as beer is concerned, you don't have to do beer because it has a din of the sixth year. That means it's both leniencies. You don't have to separate Meiser because it has a din of the seventh. You don't have to get rid of it because it has a din of the sixth. What?
Regarding the din, you have to buy your own lulav nesser. Can you on Shemitah year go pick it?
Yeah, if it's hefker, it's yours. The only question is, there's a lot of dinim with the din of Shemitah, what you do with it afterwards. You have to send it back. You can't. That's why the Israeli esregim that have a din in that Shemitah year, you could use them, but afterwards you have to send them back to Israel. The whole procedure has to be done. But you could be Yetzir the Mitzvah because it's Hefker.
But in the old times, they used to use the Esrog to eat.
But that you can't do. Yes, as Kedusha Shvius, you have to send it back to Israel.
This year is going to be Shemitah year?
No, it was already. This is the year right after. This is Hakel. This is the year right after Shemitah. Last year was a Shemitah year.
Yeah.
So this is the first year of the new cycle. So you got five more years.
I'm not talking about Shemitah. What are we talking about? The year with the Hakel.
This year's Hakel.
Yeah, but.
No, he's talking about the Shemitah year. Because you picked it in the Shemitah year, and you want to use it in the Shemitah year. Because it grew in the sixth.
The Talmud used to use the Esek for
to eat.
Eat.
They used to make jelly out of it.
Yeah,
it even today, people make food out of. Okay, so he says an Esek that grew in the sixth year and picked in the seventh says both dinim. But according to Rabbi, they're both leniencies. You don't have to separate Meiser because it has a din of the seventh. You don't have to do Biur because it has a din of the sixth. Then he says, what's the opposite case? What happens in Esrig that grew in the seventh year, Shemitah, and you picked it on the eighth, so now Ptura b'Meiser. You don't have to separate Meiser because it grew in the sixth, in the seventh. But Chayav is b'Bir. You have to do Bir. Okay? Now, it has to do Bir because it's Shemitah. But you don't have to do Meiser. Okay? This is what Rabbi said. So Amalei Abaye, said to him, it doesn't make sense what you just said. Not only are you contradicting yourself, but it doesn't make sense. He says as follows, Bishleim Sefer L'Chumra, the ending, I understand why it's strict. Meaning, that it has to be the law of a beard, I understand, you have to be strict. But the beginning, Pturim in Abir Amai. Why do you tell me it's potter from Bir? Because Amnin and Zilbasa Chanota, because it goes by when the fruit grew, which was in the sixth year. So Yachi Techayev B'Meiser. Why isn't Chayev and Meiser? Abai asks him a very simple question. It doesn't make sense what you're saying. Because you're telling me you go both leniencies in the first part. If it grew in the sixth, and you picked it in the seventh. So you tell me you don't have to give Meiser because of the seventh. And you don't have to do Beard because it's the sixth. He said, isn't that a little contradictory? At the end, I understand you go stricter. You have to do beard. When it grew in the seventh and you took it in the eighth. Over there, you restricted, made sense. But here, your mamish going lenient. He says, is it the sixth or is it the seventh? It can't be both. If it's the sixth, so then you have to give meiser. Mm-hmm. If it's the seventh, then you have to do beer. But you can't go, it's like you take every leniency in the book. So how can you do this? Rabbi said to Abaye, understand. He said, Yadako memash mishimba. Everybody touches it during the seventh year, meaning it's a tree that's the estrig was picked in the seventh year. That means everybody has a right to it because it's hefker. Mm-hmm. If everybody has a right to it, you tell me to chayiv b'maiser. It's obligated in maiser. Meaning as follows. He says, really has a din of the sixth. That's why you don't have to do beard. If so, why don't you have to give maiser? He says, because very simple. He said, what do you mean give maiser? Factually, this tree in the seventh year is hefker. Everybody has a right to it. Yeah? If it's hefker, there's no maiser in hefker. He says, really has a din of the sixth year. But the bottom line is, this tree now, that has the fruits that grew in the sixth year, but now it's the seventh year, everybody has a right to it. So it's hefker. If it's hefker, you don't have to give maiser.
Michael, this is a complication.
Okay, give him a, you know, you two share and
Shoshone,
yeah. So therefore, Rabbi answered him that really he has a din of the sixth year. And if he has a din of the sixth year, that's why you have to separate, that's why you have to do beer. I'm sorry, that's why you don't do beer. Why don't you have to give maiser? For a different reason. It's the din of hefker. Then he says, Rav Amnuna Amar, Rav Amnuna argues. And Rav Amnuna says as follows, Bas Shishis HaNichneses L'Shvias, an esrog that grew in the sixth year, and you picked it in the seventh year, so Rabbi said, you go both leniencies. Mm-hmm. He says, no, Le'elam Shishis, it has a din of the sixth year. Period. That's it. You have to give Maiser, you don't have to do beer. But Rav Amnuna says very simple. An esrog goes by when you grew. If it grew in the sixth year, even though you picked it in the seventh, it has a din of the sixth year. What din does it have? You have to separate Maiser, because it's not Shemitah. But you don't have to do beard, because it's not the fruit of the seventh year. What happens? Bashvias and Nechneses L'Sheminis, and the same din applies. An esrog that grew in the seventh year, that you picked in the eighth year, La'elam Shvias as a din of Shvias. So Rav Amnuna says very simple. When it grew, that's the year it is. Both lenient and strict, it doesn't matter. If it grew in the sixth and you picked it in the seventh, it has a din of the sixth. If it grew in the seventh and you picked it in the eighth, it has a din of the seventh. What's the din of the Shemitah year? You don't have to separate Maiser, but you have to do Biur. If it's a din of the sixth year, you have to separate Maiser, but you don't have to do beer. So he argues on Rabbah. So the Gemara says, Maiser, I'll ask you a question. It says, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Mishum Rab Shimon, Rab Shimon ben Yehuda says in the name of Rab Shimon the following din. Esrig Bashisha Shenechnasas Lishvias, an esrig of the sixth year, that grew into the seventh year, meaning it was picked in the seventh, p'tura min ha-maiser. You don't have to give maiser. U'p'tura min ha-biur. And you don't have to do beer. Both leniencies. Mm-hmm. Like Rabbi said, both leniencies. But the Braisa says why? Shein l'ordova shechayiv maiser. There is nothing that's obligated in maiser. Mm-hmm. Only im ken gadol b'chiyiv v'nilka b'chiyiv. If it was grown in an obligated year, and you picked it in an obligated year. He says, very simple. In order to be, have to do maiser and biur, you have to grow in an obligated year and picked in an obligated year. Mm-hmm. If one of the two were missing, you don't have to do maiser. So therefore he says, an esrog that grew in the sixth year, but you picked it in the seventh, mm-hmm. you don't have to separate meiser. Why? Because in order to obligate yourself in meiser, it has to grow in an obligated year, and it has to be picked in an obligated year. Shemitah is not an obligated year, so if you picked it in Shemitah, it doesn't matter when it grew. The same thing would be reverse, like he says. Ubashvius shenichnas in the Shminis. The same thing. If it grew in Shemitah, and you picked it in the eighth year, again, pturim in a meiser, but pturim in a biyur. You don't have to do either. Why? Because the only time you're obligated in biyur, getting rid of the fruits of Shemitah, elam king godl b'shvius. Only if it was grown in Shvius, v'nilked b'shvius, and it was gathered in Shvius. So he takes all the leniencies from all the sides.
Very sensible.
Huh?
Very sensible. You know, it's very...
It makes sense? It
makes sense.
Okay, well, he comes up with a premise. In order to be obligated, yeah. you need to have both things. Grown and picked in the obligated year. Mm-hmm. So therefore, if you grow in the sixth year and picked in the seventh, you do nothing. If it grew in the seventh and grew in the eighth and picked in the eighth, you also do nothing.
Barisayan doesn't matter here? Like people think
no, because everybody knows that trees grow for more than 1 year. Everybody knows an esrig is something that can be 3 years in a tree. So,
this is only with esrig?
Yeah, this is only esrig. Meanwhile,
I think it's lemon also. Lemons. Also,
lemons is tree here.
What?
Lemon.
Yes.
They can stay on a tree for 3 years.
3 years. Two years.
Well, there's a whole issue that the Mefard, the Rishonim discuss. I don't want to get into that. If it applies only to an esrig or other fruits also. But meanwhile, let's keep it simple. Yeah. The Gemara is talking about an esrig. So now the Gemara asks a question on Rabbo and Rav Hamnuna. Because Rav Hamnuna just said that if it grew in the sixth and you picked it in the seventh, it has a din of the sixth. That means you have to do both. Meiser and... No beer, but you have to do Meiser. This Braisa says you don't have to do anything. No mice and no beard. So the Gemara says, Reisha Kasha L'Rav Hamnuna. The beginning is a question of Rav Hamnuna. Because the beginning of this Braisa says, if it grew in the sixth and you picked it in the seventh, there's no mice. But Rav Hamnuna said, you do have to do mice like a sixth year fruit. And also the Gemara says, Seifa Kasha Ben L'Rabba Ben L'Rav Hamnuna. The end is a question on both. Why? Because Rabbi said before, if it went from the 7th to the 8th, you have to do biur. That's what Rabbi said. But this Braisa says, in both cases you do nothing. So it's a question basically on both opinions. So the Gemara answers, Tanoihi. You're right. It's an argument of Tanoim, and they don't hold of this one. They hold of a different Tana. What's the story of Tanoim? He says as follows. The Tanya Amr Rabbi Yasi said the following. Avtolmes, the scholar Avtolmes, Hayid Mishum Chamishas Kenim, testified in the name of five elders. And he said the following halacha. Esrig Achal Kitosil Maiser, that an Esrig goes by when you gather it, as far as Maiser goes. Meaning, if you picked it in the seventh, no Maiser. You picked it in the eighth, yes, Meiser. But Rabbeinu Nimnu, but the Chachamim voted in Usha, and he said, "Achal likitosei, it has a din of gathering it, bein the Meiser, bein the Shvius, for Meiser and Shvius." This is still in the middle. We don't know yet what's coming off. But just very briefly, Usha was one of the places, the big Bezdin, when before the Chur Meisa Migdash. Long time before Chub Meis HaMikdash was thrown out of Yerushalayim. It went into 10 golos. And one of the big places that we were for an extended period of time was in Usha. The city called Usha. And the Beis Din was in Usha. The big Sanhedrin of 71 was in Usha for many, many years. And they made a lot of takonis. That's why you have many times Usha Eskinu. The last place the Beis Din ended up is in Tveria. Tiberias. And the Rambam writes from the Gemara that when Mashiach comes, the big Beis Din is going to start off in Tveria, where it ended, and from there they're going to go up to Yerushalayim. But Usha was one of the big cities, I mean big places where they were for many years, and there were a lot of takonas, the Gemara said, they made in Usha. And this is one of the rabbis in Usha made a vote, meaning the Sanhedrin made a vote, and they said that an Esrei goes by its gathering both for Meiser and Shvius. But the Gemara asked right away, Shvius man chashmi, how does Shmita? Who's talking about Shmita? How does Shmita get in here? So we must say, Chasuri Machzer, the Braise is missing. And this was pretty common, because Braise again was not the authentic thing of the Mishnah, and therefore Braises were handed over wrongly, and they used to correct Braises. He says, Chasuri Machzer, the Braise is missing. V'orik Tani, this is the way it's supposed to say. Esrig achal likitosi lemaiser. And esrig, as far as maiser goes, it goes by the year you gather it. Whatever year you gather it. If you pick it in the seventh, doesn't matter when it grew. If you picked it in the seventh, you don't have to separate maiser, because it's Shemitah. If you picked it in the eighth, you do. It's totally irrelevant when it grew. But, v'achar chanota lishvias, as far as the din of Shemitah goes, it doesn't go by when you gather it, it goes by when it grew. That means if it grew on the 6th, it's not Shemitah. If it grew on the 7th, it's Shemitah. Doesn't matter when you picked it. It only matters when you grew. But Rabbi Seinu, Nimnubu Usha and the Chachamim, though in Usha argued, and they said, Achali Kitosi, Bein Lemaise, Bein Leshvius, it goes by when you pick it, both for Shemitah and Shvius. So therefore, Rabba and Rav Amnuna hold like this Tana. And therefore it's not a question. You're right. Rab Shimon in the name of Rab Shimon ben Yehuda, in the name of Rab Shimon argues. But they hold like a different opinion. And the rule obviously in Gemara is very simple. An Ameira, somebody from the Gemara era, cannot argue on a Tana. That's a given. And if you prove an Ameira wrong from a Tana, he's wrong. That's it. But if you find a different Tana that he holds like, then he has a right to say it. Because he's not arguing on a Tana, he holds like another Tana, who has a right to argue on the other Tana. Same right, yeah, the same. But an Amerita cannot argue on a Tana. Once in a while, when the Gemara disproves Rav from a Mishnah, the Gemara says, Rav Tana hu palug. Rav is also a Tana. So once I think it's a Shmuel is a Tana. You know, but they were in the first era of the Gemara, so, and they were very great, so they say they can also argue, but the later people for sure can't.
The principle then from Mazel, when the Peder comes in the Goren,
right? Well, that's when it becomes Chayiv and Maaseh. No, but the question is, the fruit has to grow. When does it grow? So there's a whole argument of it, if you go by when it grows or by when you pick it off the tree. So the whole Gemara is discussing if an Esrig grew in the 6th year, but you picked it in the 7th, is it a din of the 6th, is it a din of the 7th? Or the opposite, if it grew in the 7th, and you picked it in the 8th, is it Shemitah, is it not Shemitah, is it beard, is it not beard, is it Lemaisen, not Maisen? And that's the whole argument over here. Then the Gemara says another opinion. Okay? Etmar we learned. Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish Shomer the Tavayu. Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish both say, Esrig Bashishes, an Esrig that grew in the 6th year, Shenichnas LeShvius that grew entered into the 7th, and you picked it in the 7th. LeElam Shishes has a din of 6. Period. Like Rav Amnuna said, has a din only the 6th, because you go by when it grows. That's what Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish both said. Kiyasa Rabin, when Rabin came back from Israel, and he heard a lot of dinim from Rabbi Yechanan, who lived in Eretz Yisrael. He said, no, that's not what Rabbi Yechanan said. He said, Ezek Bashishis, Shenichnesa Lashvias, an Ezek of the sixth year that grew in the seventh, that was picked in the seventh. He said, Afilu Kizayas, even if it was the size of an olive in the sixth year, Bekikar Bishvias, and it became the size of a loaf of bread. That means massive. In the seventh, Chayavin Allah Mishim Tevel, it's obligated in Tevel, meaning it has a din of the sixth year. So he says even more. Not only does Esther go by when it grew, as long as it grew the size of an olive, in the sixth year, it's still a din of the sixth year. Which is not so much arguing. Rabbi Yechanan said, if it grew in the sixth year, that was in the sixth year. He's saying even more, even if it grew only this, a little bit, in the sixth, it has a din of the sixth. Okay, now the Gemara says, Tan Rabban learnt. Now we go from an esrik to a normal tree. He says as follows: Tan Rabban learnt. Ilan Shechan to Pereis of Kedem Chamish Asa B'Shvat. Now basically, we learned Allah is like Beis Hillel, that the new year for trees is Chamish Asa to B'Shvat. Yeah? Now, a fruit that grew before Tu B'Shvat. Misase L'Shana Sha'avra. So obviously, it's from the old stock. Because Tu B'Shvat is the cutoff date, right? So if it emerged before Tu B'Shvat, you have to separate Maisa from the previous year. What happens, Achar Chamishase B'Shvat, if the fruit emerged after Tu B'Shvat? Misase L'Shana Abba. Then you have to give Maisa from the fruits of the new year. Like we learned before in the Gemara, Maiser, you have to give fruits from 1 year on the same year. You can't give Maiser from 1 year's fruits on another year's fruits. So he says, very simply, if it grew before Tu B'Shvat, then it's the past year's fruits. If it grew after Tu B'Shvat, it's the new year's fruits.
Didn't we decide already if it's going by the picking?
But that's the whole argument. But here the Gemara is learning, no, it goes by the growing.
Wasn't decided
before only Esrig. Only Esrig. Oh. Esrig is different.
But what's the common opinion that what constitutes growth?
Yes.
Is it olive size or common opinion?
That's.
Didn't we learn that you could use it? What's the smallest Esrig we could use? You learned? The smallest Esrig you could use for.
Well, aloch has to be a kibetza. As an opinion, said a very small one, no? Yeah, but still, that's called emergence of the fruit.
But you are necessarily not able to find the mitzvah. What is the advantage?
Because no, we're not talking about doing the mitzvah. The mitzvah you could do. We're talking about giving ma'aser. You have to say, now it's a stroll. You have to give ma'aser and the esrig. One, the fruits.
Ma'aser is so small, can give ma'aser from a.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why even Moshe said before in Esrig, if it grew even the size of a kezias, and most of it grew later in the seventh year, still has the din of the sixth year.
So on the same tree, you could bring in the mice for 1 year and then another year?
Yep.
So you have to mark them all up?
We learned before in the Gemara, remember if you did it, it's 6 o'clock, remember the cutoff point was 6 o'clock, some fruits you picked, 5 to 6, some fruits you pick 5 after 6. Yeah, and it's a new year, so it's completely new year.
Well, how do you know which fruits grew last year and which fruits grew this year?
Yes.
You have to know. See,
there's 100
fruits on a tree. Here in America, it doesn't matter, so we don't care.
Yeah, but in Israel, it does.
So the firm farmers, Taka, have to know. They have to label things and. Sure. Yeah.
So 100 fruits on a tree, you have to know which half belongs to which year.
Yeah, but most of the time, I don't think by most trees they have the problem.
It's the same.
He goes to your garden and say the first fruit has the mark.
That's the Bikurim. But I'm saying even with Maisa, they have to know, the farmers would have to know, which fruits were before, which fruits were after.
So, the same tree, the bloom this year and bloom there and next year.
Right. Right. So then if some fruits would have a mice of the old year, and some fruits would have the mice of the new year. How do they know? They have a way of knowing. They're farmers. They know.
So what do they do with it in Israel right now?
They still tithe it.
And do what with it?
Give it to who?
No, destroy it. Throw it away.
But they destroy it.
They have, they say, from even from the army, the produce that they bring to the army, they truckloads and truckloads go to the waste. That's the halacha. Yeah, see, technically, there's two issues. Meiser, let's think of it. Now, Truma is a different story. Truma is also a problem. There's two aspects of separating Truma and Meiser. Number one, if I have fruit that I have to separate Truma and Meiser from, two dinim are accomplished. These fruits are not allowed to be eaten until I separate. It's tevel. Chayiv Misa sometimes. Okay? You're not allowed to eat tevel. By separating Truma and Meiser, these fruits are now edible. Then I have another problem. Another din. Meiser goes to the Levi, Truma goes to the Kohen. I have to give it to them to eat. Okay, but it's two separate aspects. Once I separate, this fruit is edible. Then I have a monetary obligation to give it to the Kohen and to the Levi. Okay? Because today we don't know who are Kohen and who are Leviim, we have to, but you still have to separate it to be able to eat it. The leftover. It's the same thing when a woman or a bakery bakes challah. Yeah? One of the gifts you have to give to a Kohen is challah. Right? Gracious are Seichem, the first dough of your dough, every time if you bake X amount of, so you bake 3.5 pounds of whatever it is of flour, you have an obligation to separate challah. Anytime you bake matzah bread, okay, you have to separate challah. Now, in order to eat this bread, you must separate challah. If you don't separate challah, this bread is forbidden to eat. So you have to do two things. You have to separate challah, now it permits the bread to be eaten. Now you have to give challah to a kohen. So because today we don't know who our kohenim, I mean, not people that say, but who is a real kohen, so the woman takes the challah and burns it in the oven.
Yeah.
Because you can't eat it, they also do it.
They burn it?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Yes. Now, if it's a goyish company, you don't have to separate challah. Oh. It's only rishis that you say sechem, Jewish dough. You have to separate challah. If a guy, so you have a mashgiach in a company, but it's owned by a guy, you don't have to separate challah. So when a person separates challah, that permits the food to be eaten, the bread to be eaten. Now, what do you do with the challah? You can't give it to a kohen because you don't know who he is. Right? So you burn it. That's what the chacham said, you burn it. He said, so there's two aspects. You have to be able to eat the fruit. Wait 1 second. So in Chutz La'aretz, we don't have a problem with Meiser, Truma, Shemitah. In Eretz Yisrael, even today, you have to separate Truma, you have to separate Meiser, you have to separate Challah. And there's another interesting difference between Israeli Challah, I don't mean the Challah, between the mitzvah of Challah in Israel today and the mitzvah of Challah in Chutz La'aretz. For instance, in Eretz Yisrael, the din is, you're not allowed to eat bread until the challah was separated. It's biblical challah, the mitzvah, so therefore you're not allowed to eat the dough until you separate challah. In Chutz La'aretz, you can eat the bread and leave over a piece at the end as challah. You can eat the bread and leave over a piece at the end for challah. But in Israel, you can't do that. Which poses a very big halachic problem today. What happens today in LA? A woman bakes challah for Shabbos, and she forgot to separate challah. She forgot to separate the mitzvah of challah. What do you, and it's Shabbos already. What do you do? Now the problem is you can't separate Chal on Shabbos because you're not allowed to fix things on Shabbos. Food that's not edible that you now make edible, you're fixing. Why can't you table dishes on Shabbos? If Tefillas Kelim is biblical, if tabling dishes in a mikveh is biblical, you can't table dishes on Shabbos. Why? The dish was not usable. Now you're fixing it by tabling it in the mikveh. You're making it usable. You can't fix on Shabbos. So if you take food which is not edible and you make it edible, you're fixing on Shabbos. So now the problem is, how can I separate Chal in Israel? So the Moshe in Israel, today even, in Yerushalayim, Tel Aviv, any city in Eretz Yisrael, yeah? If a woman bakes challah, and she forgot to separate challah, and now you're Friday night by the table, and the woman says, oh God, I didn't separate challah, you can't eat the challah. Because in Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to eat the challah before you separate it. And separating challah and Shabbos is forbidden, because you're fixing. So what do? You're stuck. In Chutz Laretz, where the din is, you're allowed to leave challah over at the end. So what's the problem? There's no problem. In the Chutz Laretz, you eat the challah. At the end, you leave over a piece, so you're not fixing anything.
Is any piece of it
prescribed
amount?
No, kazayis. Any part of it, there has to be a size of an, you know, kazayis.
In Israel, if you bake two pieces, could you take one of the pieces and burn it later? On Shabbat? Or you can't do that?
On Shabbat? No, what do you mean?
So you have two challahs. You can't take one. Just leave one of them alone and take the other one? It's called separating.
No, you're not allowed to eat it until you separate. Oh. And you're not allowed to separate because you're fixing. Mm.
And if it's a weekday, you take that kibbeis or whatever and you burn it? After you cooked it? So let's say the lady forgot to burn it at the beginning.
Before she baked the challah? Right. You do it afterwards.
You just burn the one.
You know how many times ladies call me that they forgot to separate challah and the other things baked already? So what you do is you put it together in a pan and you cover it and you take a piece even though it's baked already. That's what they do with the matzah, by the way. In the matzah bakeries, they separate matzah after it's baked, not before.
You have to cover it before you can
do it? Yeah, because you have to make it into one... Then I mentioned many times, we had this a few times already, it was interesting. Sometimes with kids in the camps or in the schools, they want to teach them the baking challah and all that, yeah? So they baked challah, they separated challah properly, you know, they separated challah, and then because there was no proper supervision, somebody by mistake took that piece of challah that they separated and baked it with everything else as a challah, and now you don't know what's what. So the din is you can't eat what you separated challah, you're not allowed to eat. It belongs to the kohen, you're not allowed to eat it.
Is it a bigger problem?
So what you have to do is, you have to do matan neder. You need a bezdin. You have to undo the vow, because separating challah is like making a vow. You have to undo the vow that you made, to undo the challah that you made, and then you have to redo it. It happened once in the school here, a few years ago. It was a very interesting learning experience for the kids. By mistake, that's what happened. And it was very interesting. We had a bezdin, and it was all the kids were gathered together again. It was a learning experience for the kids. And because the girl that did it was over bas mitzvah. If the girl was under bas mitzvah, it wouldn't matter, because then it's not really a vow. So you just separate a new piece of challah, and that's it.
It's like a din of a boy.
No, not a goy chas v'shalom, but they can't make a vow under bas mitzvah.
Not like a goy is not obligated, minors are not obligated.
It's not a question of minors not obligated, but they can't do it in a way that it should have the kedusha of it. And that girl happened to be bas mitzvah that did it. So they had to undo it and then redo it. So we got off the topic. Anyway, let's answer your question. So there's two aspects. There's the aspect of being able to eat the fruit, and there's the aspect of who the mice or the thing goes to. So without mice, you just can't eat the fruit, period.
And nowadays, what do they do with the fruits?
Throw it out.
Huh?
Throw it out. By the truckloads. you have orchards in Israel, yeah? I mean, what they do, they have orchards in Israel. So everything that grows every year, you have to give 10% that and truma, and you know, it's a whole bunch of things.
I've seen them, they take it in barges into the ocean.
They destroy it. So how do you destroy it? Into the ocean? And the interesting problem, not the problem, the non-religious Jews say, what are you wasting so much food for? You're wasting so much food, give it to the poor and to the hungry, you know? Can't do it, there's no choice. That's what the Torah says you have to do.
You cannot have a noah from it.
No.
The highness and things like that.
No. Okay.